Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about something that I'm actually not that familiar with, so I'm going to let Tony take the lead on here, which is we're going to talk about vision boards. I'm actually not even sure exactly what a vision board is, but Tony, why don't you start out?
We have so much to talk about today, or should I say I have so much to talk about
yes.
today. A vision board is basically a collage of images and words that help you stay focused on what's most important to you, what your goals are, and they don't have to be for business. We're going to talk about this in more of a business context today, but really they work for just about anything in your life.
Okay, that's a very vague
answer. It is. We'll get a little deeper.
All right.
So the reason why, I don't know. There's so much we could talk about here, and I feel like you're so against all of this that I don't
I'm not against anything.
not
I have
against,
an open
that's
mind.
The wrong word. Yeah.
I have an open mind. Okay, so why don't we just start with this question?
Okay.
What is the purpose of having one?
The purpose of having... So images are very powerful.
Okay.
And, you know, we can... A lot of people have planners and lists and, you know... I think those are great. You know me. I love my Post-it notes. But images... To your brain, they convey tons of information very, very quickly. So when you look at a picture, and let's just say we look at a picture of your family, right, doing something, it conveys all sorts of information about your family. Maybe one of your children is smiling, the other one has like a mischievous look. You're developing opinions and ideas about the personalities of people in your family. Maybe you guys look like you're having a great time. And your brain is like creating stories. I mean, that happens when you look at images of anything. Your brain immediately goes into like overdrive. So the thought behind the vision board is you can have lists and you can have, you know, sheets and spreadsheets of goals, but this image-driven product basically is something that when you look at, your brain is immediately registering your brain as a very powerful signal to help you achieve the things that you want and as a reminder about the things that you want to achieve and do in your life.
Okay. So a long time ago,
yes,
I watched this video called The Secret.
Okay.
Is this related to that?
I don't know what this is. I don't know what The Secret is.
It's about like manifesting stuff.
Yes, it is. It a little bit.
Okay.
Because I do think I've been listening to a ton of podcasts about this lately, which I know you're like, oh, good grief. But I do think most people fail or do not achieve what they want to achieve because they have a limiting belief about their ability to do so.
Oh, okay. I 100% agree with that.
And I actually heard a quote this morning. Do you know a guy? I can't think of his first name. His last name's Quick, like K-W-I-K, I think. He's like
yes,
this crazy
Mike
guy.
Quick?
Yes, that, like crazy yeah. memorizing.
It's an Asian guy, right?
I don't know. I've only heard his voice. But basically, he was told in like school that he was dumb, basically by his teacher. And he has spent like his whole life teaching himself and now others how to retain information. So like he does these seminars and he'll have 100 people stand up and give their names and he can repeat them all back to them after one time. And he's basically saying, I'm not doing this to like show off. I'm doing it to say that anybody is capable of retaining information. And he was talking about pessimism and optimism. And he said, pessimists are right more often than optimists, but optimists tend to be more successful. Because if you have a mindset that you can't, because a lot of times like, you'll say like, oh, I want to do this. Or someone will say, oh, I want to do this. But, and then they'll list a bunch of reasons why they don't think they can hit that goal, right? And a lot of those reasons are probably, they're not wrong. They're not, you know, they're not wildly inaccurate, right? They're legitimate reasons. But just in that, like when you're sitting there and listing off all the stuff that's going to keep you from doing something, you're reinforcing the belief that you can't do it.
Sure. So I agree with that.
So if you think about a pessimist who said, oh, you know, let's just say, oh, I want to pay off my house in 10 years. Let's just throw that out there. Oh, well, you know, but I only make this much an hour at my job or, you know, I'm always tired. I don't know how I could work overtime or I don't really have any good ideas about starting something on the side. Like every time you say or have those, and those are probably all like you might not make a lot of money at your job. You might be tired. You might think you don't have any good idea. Like those all might be grounded in like a truth. But that doesn't necessarily, but that all that's going to do is keep you from achieving that. But if you say, I want to pay off my house in 10 years, and you're like, I know that's crazy because I only make $15 an hour, but I think I could start on the side and I could do X, Y, Z. And then maybe I could do this and maybe I could get rid of that. And maybe I could, you know, when you're thinking about it in the positive way, you're just triggering yourself to then help you make it happen. Now, obviously, you have to take action on anything. So the vision board is basically taking your goals and putting them either digitally or print on paper in a image-driven way. So let's just say I want to pay off my house in 10 years. That's the goal. On a vision board, I'd put a picture of a house or a paid-off sign or a note, like the bank note that says you've paid in full, something like that. And that way, every time I look at that on my wall or on my computer, my desktop, whatever, I'm reminded, like, I'm going to pay off my house in 10 years. So is the next thing on my list to do going to get me to paying off my house in 10 years? Or maybe I don't want to do the next thing because it's going to take me away from that goal.
This reminds me of the people who could never break the 4-minute mile barrier. And then one person finally did it, and then everyone started doing it.
Yes. It's actually, I just, once again, just coincidentally, I was on Instagram last night or this morning, and I followed David Goggins, who's like the ultra runner. And he's all about, like, it's all mental, right? And that running is mostly mental. Anyone can really run. And there was a guy that wanted to break his marathon time, and he ran this marathon where the last 10 kilometers of the marathon is like totally uphill, which is horrible. Like, you never want to run the last anything uphill. And throughout the running, Goggins was saying this guy was like slowing his pace, right? And then apparently, I'm not familiar with this thing that Goggins says, but he has this like principle, like the 40% principle, basically, where you're tricking yourself into like putting in more effort than you're really actually even capable of. And the guy ended up running faster the last 10 kilometers than he had the entire rest of the race. He was like 5:55 mile, which is insane, for like a regular, like not for a Olympian, but like for us, that's insane.
Oh yeah.
Which he was running like a 6:50 mile before that, but then he ran uphill the last, 6 miles at 5:55, which is crazy, but it was all mental, because he was like, he had been telling himself he couldn't do something. And then, the mindset shift, he's running a minute better which is if you're a runner, that's pretty crazy to improve that much. I'm happy when I can take 10 seconds off a mile, right?
Like, yeah.
So I think so much of everything that we do, and the more I'm listening to a lot of this stuff, the more I'm kind of, I don't want to say buying into it, but it's really rooted in like brain function, right? This isn't just like, if you sit down every day and believe that you're going to be a millionaire, you're going to wake up one day and be a millionaire. Like, that's not what it is. But it's about what happens as people. And also, like, I think there's that component, and I think we've talked about this, if not on the podcast, in the course, that people don't like to fail.
Yes.
So it's easy to create a path for yourself of least resistance. Because if you never set out to do big things, you'll probably be fine and you won't fail, but you'll also never do anything big or better. So I think our brain fights us all the time. And, you can throw in all the like childhood stuff and whatever. Even if you had like a great childhood, no matter what, there's things that happened to you when you were younger that have shaped you to be who you are today. And sometimes even positive experiences can shape you in a negative way. I don't remember what book this was. It was so interesting to me. It was about, this girl was writing about her and her sister. And her sister was really pretty. And she wasn't not pretty, but she was really smart. And her sister wasn't not smart. It's just that her sister was super pretty and she was super smart. And so throughout their entire childhood, everyone talked about how the sister was really pretty and she was really smart. Both of those are like compliments, right? They're not necessarily bad things. But the sister grew up believing that she wasn't that smart. And the other girl grew up believing she wasn't that pretty. And both weren't true, and it wasn't because they got any negative feedback. They were getting positive feedback, but because of their environment, the sister grew up with like this huge limiting belief that she wasn't going to be able to be that successful because she was just pretty.
I mean, it's the same thing. Like, if you grow up and people tell you that you're smart, you're going to have more of a closed mind because, you don't want to ask that question because you'll appear like you're dumb.
Yes. Yeah. So right. It can even happen. I think a lot of people think, because I used to think this too, like, I had a great childhood. I didn't have any big traumatic events. But I also think like things that are meant to be positive can take them personally and turn them into something negative. Like, if you're the smart one, that's right. You're not going to want to ask questions because you don't want to lose the smart status or in your mind, even though it's when you say that out loud, you're like, that's silly. Right. I mean,
yeah.
So I think going back to the vision board part of it, there's so much that I think our brain does and that we do personally to try to sabotage ourselves, that anything that we can do to remind ourselves that we are capable, and basically I think anything's possible for people if they want it bad enough and they're willing to work for it, obviously. I mean, there's work and effort in everything, that this is a really good reminder for people, especially for people who struggle with this. Because I know some people that I feel like don't have very many limiting beliefs, or maybe they don't have a lot of limiting beliefs when it comes to business. Maybe their personal life is a mess and I just don't know them that way. But I think for most people, there's little pockets of their life where things just aren't as great as they could be, or they're not reaching their potential. And something like a vision board can really help you stay on track and aligned, and I think have a really good impact on people if they do it.
I mean, I think you're describing everyone in life, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone's dissatisfied in some way.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's tie this to the vision. Okay, just walk me through this process.
So in my opinion, well, actually, let me go back one more thing, because we were talking about the visualization thing, and I brought this up in our last office hours, but there have been studies that show that athletes who visualize, and I think most athletes do this, to visualize their performance, like visualizing your performance can actually have almost as much impact as training. Now, obviously, you can't sit on the couch for 20 years and visualize yourself winning a marathon, but a lot of the top athletes, not only do they train, they visualize the entire race. They walk through the race in their mind many times before they have the race or compete or do whatever they're doing. So I think the vision board is just like a component of that for your life or your business, where you're basically visualizing the steps or the end goal for you to achieve what you would like to achieve in life.
I mean, this is something that I used to do when I played volleyball. So on defense, I used to always imagine myself like, you can never let the ball drop to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would just always tell myself. So I would just go for everything, even if I didn't think I could get to it.
Yeah.
And I think that actually helped. But I didn't have like a board or anything. That was just something I always told myself in my head.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think you're a very disciplined person. I would say a lot of people aren't disciplined to like sit down every day and be like, okay, I'm going to visualize it. Whereas like a vision board forces you to do it, right? Because it's usually most people.
Well, it's an attitude.
Like, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. They put it on their desk or whatever. It's the desktop of their computer screen or something like that.
Okay.
So I think to get started, if you're interested in creating one, and I think it's very helpful for people, especially if they are in a place where they are dissatisfied or feeling like there's something more for them. And the first thing you have to do, I mean, you can, I don't know, I'm like a mini creative, like I'm not a super creative person, but I'm probably more creative than, well, I'm definitely more creative than you.
Ouch.
Okay. I mean, come on, you're an engineer. Engineer and creativity don't always like pair together. Like I'm creative, but I'm not like.
You just alienated half the audience.
I alienated your entire audience. So. But I'm not like a wildly creative person, but I'm probably, I don't know, if it's 1 to 10, I'm probably like a 6, right? So there are probably people out there that can just start looking online at images and open magazines, whatever, and like find images that speak to them. I cannot, like that would waste 5 weeks of my life. So I think the easiest way to do this in an efficient way, because I also, even though I am creative, I'm way more efficient than I am creative, is to put your goals on paper. And I think this is helpful for a lot of reasons. One, I actually think the act of like writing is really helpful in like solidifying information in our brains. But then two, I think then you can take, and I actually did this exercise this weekend, so I would have a vision board for our course discussion today.
Mm-hmm.
A new one, because my old vision board's really old, is, you know, once you look at what your goals are, then it's really easy to find images that speak to you about that. And as I was like looking for images, I was realizing that I was drawn to very specific things. So it's like kind of just gets you on the right path. And with a vision board, you can do this for just about anything. Like what we did for the course was basically have it be business focused. But you could do this if you wanted just financially, like maybe you have a 9-to-5 and that's great. And you just want to make some financial changes in your life. You can do this for finances. You could do it for health. You could do this for relationships. I mean, you could do it for anything. We're going to talk mostly about business, but you know, the first thing that I always say to do for the vision board is to figure out your number one goal. Like what drives you in life? Like what's the most important thing? And I think we joked, not joked, but last week, you know, we talked about your family is really your driving.
Can we talk about your vision board?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
I was going to go to mine next.
All right. Yeah. So what is your,
family is very high for me. But freedom is my number one. Like, I hate to feel tied down, is not the right word, but I hate to feel like I don't have the ability to make a choice to do something. Like when I feel like, when I feel trapped in a situation, I cannot function. And last, like, I'm redoing my kitchen, which I don't know if we've talked about on the podcast, but we had some like massive like issues with the people, the installers and stuff. And last week, like, everything was out of, I had no freedom in the situation at all. Everything was out of my control. Everything was on other people. Like, I had no ability to make anything different. And I had a headache for, I'm not joking, for 6 days. For 6 days, I had a headache, like, nonstop. Not an awful one, but, like, enough to, like, be really annoying. I was super unproductive. I was angry at everybody. Like, so I realized, like, for me, the freedom to, like, fix something, change something, do something is so critical to me that, like, if I have freedom in most areas of my life, then, like, my family stuff really falls into place for me. My work stuff falls into place for me. So for me, my number one is, like, freedom, whether that's financial or with, you know, just decisions, life, everything.
Interesting. You know, one of my mottos is dependency is the source of all misery. But strong, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like you, right? Freedom, in my mind, is not having to depend on anyone else.
Yeah.
For anything. Like,
and I don't mind depending on people, but if it goes south, if you don't have the freedom to fix it on your own, it's really tough.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I don't want people to think that it's not, because you know me, I'm like very loyal and committed also. So it's not about like, just leave me alone, you know, like it's not that way. It's the, I don't like feeling like I don't have options.
Right. Yeah.
So.
And I don't feel like I want to depend on anyone for anything. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be life or death. Similar to you, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So that's your number one. So can you describe the image that you have on the vision board? It's like someone standing on top of a mountain or something? Or?
It's actually my tattoo.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, wait. Which one?
I only have one.
Oh, you only have one. Okay. Okay. Not, you want to tell everyone what the tattoo
not
is?
Not my huge back tied tattoo of a serpent coming out of
the one
ocean.
On your lower back. The
yeah. No. So I got a tattoo like a year and a half ago, and it's just the word free with a bird like taking off, and it was really to remind myself to, in situations, evaluate like, well, this. It's really a reminder. It's basically like a vision board that I stamped on my body, of, you know, this is really important to me, and I don't ever want to be in a situation where I don't have the freedom to make a decision. And so that's the reason why I got the tattoo. And it's weird because I'm not really a tattoo person. Like, I'm not against them. Like, I never thought I would get one, but like, I love it. And it's such a good reminder for me. Especially when things aren't going well, I'm like, okay, what's the goal? What's the centering? You know, how do I get back there? So yeah. So that's, I took a picture. I mean, I already had a picture of my tattoo. So,
wait, so interesting. So your body is actually your vision board?
I mean, let's not get crazy. I mean, I'm not going to end up with a whole vision board on my back.
Okay. So there's more than one image.
Although you could totally do that.
But then you couldn't see your back. So there'd be no point, right? I guess you'd have to look in the mirror.
Right. It'd have to be on my legs.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, I'm trying to find my goal sheet, and then it'll be easier. I downloaded it.
So this board is more than just images.
It is.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, for the most part, I think images work better. If you want to use like one and two word things, I think you can do however you want. There's not a rule to this, but I think the whole point is the image focus. So, you know, the more image heavy your board can be, the better.
Okay. So just walk me through this real quick before we talk about your actual board. When something bad happens in your life, you refer back to this board?
I don't necessarily think you have to like run downstairs and like stare at the board.
Well, no, you know what I mean.
I don't think it's more about when something bad happens. I think it's when you have to make decisions about priorities and what you want to do and directions for your life, your business, your finances, your personal growth.
Okay.
I think it's to kind of keep you focused on what's most important to you, because I think especially in the entrepreneurial world, we're all a bunch of like squirrels, right? Like, oh, this is a great idea. This is, and most usually entrepreneurs have really great, like you don't just have one good idea. Most people have tons of good ideas. And the ideas themselves are good. It's not like they're a bad thing. But if they take you away from the core of what you want to achieve and what you want to do, I mean, something might be a great idea, but if it's not going to help me reach XYZ or this goal, it's going to take me in a different direction, then maybe it's not a great idea for me. And I pass that idea along to somebody else.
Okay.
So anyway, we'll just go through. So on the vision board, and you can do this however you want. How we set it up was your number one goal and then financial goals. Because I think business ties into finances, right?
Sure.
And choices in your business will affect your finances. And then business goals. And then the next three that I put on here are...
What are your business goals?
I'll go through them in just a second.
Okay.
And then happiness factor. Like what really makes you happy in life. Outside of... It could be business, but it could be just something totally outside of that. Personal growth. Like how do you plan on like growing as a human and becoming better? I think that's really important for people. And then... The final one that I put on there, which I don't think it's probably somewhere online. Like, this is not my original idea, but like confidence boost. So I think most people who are being very honest with themselves struggle with self-confidence in certain areas. Not like crippling, like, oh, anxiety, but like there's something about your life or you that you don't like. And so when that is something that could be focused on, it can lead you to avoid things or not do things or make different choices because you lack the self-confidence. So I think it's important on your vision board to put things on there that will help you improve in the areas that you feel like you need a confidence boost in.
Okay. I'm just dying to know what's on this board of yours. Okay. So what are these business goals?
I was going to make you wait till this.
And then okay. I want to know like the confidence thing, because you're pretty cocky to me. I can't imagine any confidence issues.
Okay. So my business goals are, and this was actually pretty hard for me. Because I feel like I have a lot of business ADHD. And so this actually took me the longest when I was writing these down this weekend. And I also feel like because I've had just so much going on, I don't have a lot of clarity in business right now. But the one thing that I've been talking about doing for like 3 years, I actually bought a course, was to take a copywriting course.
Oh, which one did you buy?
I have Marie Forleo's, the copy cure.
Okay.
And I mean, I own it. Like I can log on after this podcast and take the first lesson. It's so stupid. But it hasn't been something that I've put as a priority. So obviously it gets shoved to the side and doesn't get done. But the more I've been in this marketing world business, like the more I feel like copy is just so important. And I know we talked about on the podcast last week about writing and how you have to write for Google, which is super boring and not great. But I think when you want people to buy from you, when you want to compel people to take an action, being a good copywriter is such an advantage. I think about our friend Misha, who's a copywriter. Mm-hmm. Her copy's amazing.
Yep.
Like, I would buy anything, stuff I didn't need, if she wrote the copy. Right? I mean, you'd come to my house and I'd have a llama. And they'd be like, why do you have a llama? Well, because Misha wrote about it. And I was like, I need a llama. Like, this is the best thing I'm ever going to do in my life. So I'm realizing how powerful that is, especially because I'm writing more. And I feel like I'm not a bad writer, but I could be so much better.
What if Misha tried to sell you a Volvo?
I'd probably buy one. another thing on my business goal is to, I mean, obviously COVID kind of changed things, but I'd like to start going to more events and applying to speak at more events. I think that's important for me personally. I pulled out of a lot of stuff, you know, pre-COVID. I was just taking a couple steps back, which I think was good at the time, but now I feel like I need to get back in it. But once you get out of it, it's, I don't know, for me, because even though I'm an extroverted introvert, like I like doing these things, but I also at the same time have a lot of like underlying anxiety about it. So it's not like I'm just like, oh, sign me up. Like I actually got an event in my inbox today from somebody that I like, and the dates aren't right. But I was like, I might do this. And you know me, like I don't like going to events where I don't know anybody.
Right.
And you don't care. You're like, I don't care. I'll meet 10 people in the first 10 minutes. And that's not, I totally am capable of doing it. I don't like doing it. So I really want to force myself into getting back into speaking and just finding new events, right? Like it's easy to go to the same ones that we always do.
Sure.
Obviously everyone go to Seller Summit, but other than that,
Tony's speaking at FinCon in just a couple weeks, in fact.
I am. Which is good. Like, that's kind of like, you know, because that's an easy one, right? Because we know so many people there.
Yeah.
I really would like to do something else in e-commerce. So that's another one of my goals on my business side. I would love to find another product or brand. I like brand building. I actually love e-commerce. Like I like the marketing side of e-commerce. I hate all the other hate the logistics part. Although I know how to do it. I'm fully capable of doing that. And I'm fully capable of training someone else how to do it. But I like the brand building. I like the marketing. I love email. I can tolerate way more than you. And I would love to find something that I care a lot about to sell, as opposed to my last e-commerce business, my current e-commerce business that I don't care anything about.
Right.
But I'm not that good of a writer to write. I've realized that. Like, I cannot.
That sounds like a limiting belief to me.
It is a limiting belief. That's later.
Remember when I started reading your emails, and especially that one that caused me to sign up for your list. I'm like, man, this woman's a really good storyteller.
Yeah. I love telling stories, and I love telling them in on paper. And so I want to have something that I can do that with genuinely, because I can sell you a llama too, but I don't feel good about that.
Right.
Like, I want to, and I'm not like saying I'm selling anybody anything bad, but like, I want to really believe in, it's kind of like I love the cult brands. Like, I love the people that are so dedicated to Yeti that they will pay $500 for a cooler, right? Like, Yetis are insanely expensive. I mean, I have a couple of the like mugs or the, you know, the
Didn't Tumblr you have the piece. Knockoffs? No.
No, I'm on a full Yeti today.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yes.
Is that spelled correctly? Yeah, you're right.
Well,
it is.
Is it Y-H-E-T-I? I don't know. But like, I have friends that buy every Yeti. They're so dedicated to the. But it's a lifestyle, right? It's not just a tumbler or a cooler. Like, they work really well. I mean, shout out to Yeti. You've developed a great product. But I would like to figure out a way to get people that loyal and dedicated to something that I own, you know, other than my amazing personality, obviously. There's a confidence boost.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I want to know about that section of your vision board, actually.
So then the other thing that it's in my financial goals, but it's kind of a business goal too, is I would love to own 3 rental properties in the next 7 years.
That's not going to be a problem for you.
Well, I have some limiting beliefs behind there. There's a lot of limiting belief behind that. So that we're not going to unpack today.
Okay.
That's
you can unpack to those privately. I'm very
curious.
But
that is a business. That's a long-term business. Like, to me, my long-term ideal business would be to own a lot of rental properties and not manage them myself, but like sort of create, empire is not the right word, but create like a, you know, a way that I have a lot of income coming in, you know,
without having to do anything, right?
Well, not, I mean, passive. Like, obviously, yeah, passive income. Yeah. And I love real estate. Like, I feel like I have a good eye for like good properties, for doing enough to where it's rentable, right? I don't want to flip houses or anything like that. But I think that that's something that is really important to me. And it sort of combines the whole like passion with ability, right? Because I think that's where people find the most success, is when they can find things that they're really good at and that they love at the same time. So when I started thinking about like, hey, like, where do I want to be financially in 10 years or 15 years? Like, that's something that I've been talking about for probably 10 years and I haven't done anything. So that's something that I think needs to be on the vision board, because it's clearly something I want to do, but I haven't been able to do it for some legitimate reasons, but some that are just like, maybe I'm afraid. I don't know, right? I have to figure that out.
I'm just very curious. Okay. And I know we've made this episode about you, but I'm just very curious. What was your old vision board like? Like, what were your prior goals?
I don't know if I can say this. I think that's for another episode.
Another episode. Oh, man. Okay, fine.
My old vision board was all about freedom, but freedom in a very different way.
Got it.
We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
I have it somewhere. I can't. It's like in one of the moves that got packed. So, okay. Happiness factor. So that's one that I think is really important, because what's the point if you're not happy?
Well, okay. So define happiness. Like what?
Like what? What when you do it or you think about it, you just like puts a smile on your face. You know what I mean? Like what are things that? And it might be things. It could be really simple. Like the other day, I was like, you know what? I really want to have a picnic in Central Park, not in July, but I want to go to Central Park and have a picnic. That would make me really happy. Like, I don't know why. It can be something simple. So for me, like, I took a 3-week trip this summer, as I'm sure you're still recovering from my trip. But like, that was amazing. And while it was like ups and downs and, you know, it was definitely a different experience for me, like, I would love to spend my summers traveling. Like, especially because my kids are more available, like they could come with me, they could come for part of the time, things like that. But when I started thinking about like what are the things that like I'm willing to work harder or work more or work, I'm willing to sacrifice other things for something else. And that's one of them is like, and not like not working at all, but like working remotely because I can work. I mean, we can work remotely with what we do. And then on that as well is take my kids with me. Like one of the things when I was in Europe was especially my oldest daughter. Like so many times I was like, oh, I wish she could see this. Oh, I wish she was here to see this. Oh, she would love this. Like some of my other kids as well. But like she's the one that I feel like would really appreciate a lot of what I did. Like the things that I saw are like right up her alley. And I was like, oh, I would love to be able to afford to take her and her husband like with me on a trip. Right. And like just cover all their expenses because it's not like, hey, you want to come on a trip and pay for everything yourself? Like. I don't, you know what I mean? And like at this point with the amount of kids I have, like that's not feasible for me to just like be bringing kids all over Europe all the time. Right. Mm-hmm. So, or anywhere else, right. South America, Australia, whatever. But I would love to get to the place financially where I could do that and not think about it. Right. Like, it's not like, oh, you know, and so
this isn't like a bucket list thing though. Right.
No, it's not.
This is a lifestyle thing, right?
It's lifestyle. Like, okay. I would love, because I said take kids on a trip 1 to 2 times a year.
Right. So and this like vision board, everything. I'm just trying to understand it. It's more like a reminder list.
So I put a picture of, I don't remember what I used for the picture for that one, but I put a picture of like traveling, right? So then if I have an opportunity to do some sort of business that requires me to be in my house 5 days a week, then that's probably not, even if it's a great idea and it's like, oh, I'm going to make all this money. Well, but I don't want to be in my house 5 days a week, 365 you know, 12 months out of the year, right? So then I would say no to that.
I see.
So it's just a reminder. And then the other happiness factor, which is kind of funny, and this is more of like just a really practical, was I want to declutter one room a month in my house. And I put that on there because my house has been torn up for 2 months because of my remodel. And I've realized how much my house being in disarray affects like my whole personality. Like I'm just a biatch, right? Like I get mad for no reason. Like, and I'm pretty lazy, like easygoing, like person most of the time. Like there's not a lot that really gets me going. But when I had no water, like I was washing dishes in the bathroom sink for like a month, I was really irritable. And so I like clean, organized spaces. And I thought, you know what, if I just like get one room a month, just completely decluttered, throw everything away like that I don't want or the kids don't need, whatever, I will be so much more productive. I'll be so much happier. I won't be stressed out about that. And it will help me in all these other areas of my life. So that's kind of a silly one, but.
It's not silly at all. Jen is the exact same way.
Yeah.
The other day she came home and she threw a fit and she's like, I just need 2 rooms in this house to be not cluttered because it makes me irritable. And, you know, I just get all stressed out.
Yeah.
Is what she said.
Like, yeah. So for example, during this whole remodel, my bedroom was pretty much perfect all the time because I needed to have a space where I could go and like not see any of the mess. So I was like very insistent that the bedroom was like, this is the space that stays totally clean all the time. Because everything from my kitchen and my living room and my eat-in kitchen area and my laundry room had to go to another part of my house. So every other part of my house was a wreck. It was as much of a wreck as unloading everything.
I mean, your house is pretty decluttered to me. Like, I'm looking at your office right now.
Yeah, my desk is a little bit of a wreck. I haven't opened any mail for my trip. But yes, but I've realized that I don't function in clutter. Like, I can't think. I sit down to write or sit down to do something and I'm like, oh, I need to do that. Oh, I need it. Like, I just can't focus. And so that's really important to me. Like, one, it just makes me feel better. But then two, I've realized it really does hurt my business productivity.
Okay. So, yeah. Jen is the same way. Whereas I can work in OKCupid Mess.
I know you can. I don't understand that at all. So can Brian. I don't understand. I don't understand your ability to do that. The next one that I have on the vision board, which I think is important, is personal growth. Like, how are you going to become a better human? And I think you talk about the four burners.
Yes.
And, you know, you talked about when you guys were building Bumblebee, you didn't really do anything with your friends. And I do agree with you. You can't do all four well at the same time. Like, something's always going to be on the back burner. But I do think you need to have one area of personal growth in your life, even when you're like super focused on, like, say your business growth is like, this is what I really need to focus on. You need to have some area of personal growth that you care about. That's still hanging on.
Yep.
So a couple things, I started thinking about this and I thought, you know, I'm already such an amazing person, right?
Oh God, here it comes, guys.
I was thinking, like, what's missing in my life? And I was actually talking to a friend the other day who listens to your podcast, and he said, hey, do you still talk to Steve? I was like, yeah, every day. And I have people like you, Andrea, who are in the business space like me, entrepreneurial space, I guess. And I think a lot of people talk about this, you're who you surround yourself with, right? So you need to surround yourself with people that are going to continue to force you to be better. And I'm pretty good about that online. In real life, like, I don't know if you are my real life friend listening to this, I don't think you're making me a worse person. But I've realized I don't have any friends in this area that are entrepreneurs. Like, I have none.
Is that true? You got Sanderson right down the street, don't you?
He lives a little bit from me. It's like 2 hours.
You got Kyle, Kyle Taylor.
He's like 3 hours.
Oh, 3 hours. Yeah, they're okay. Okay, fine.
So I was like, I think I would benefit from having, like, I love my local friends. We have a great time, but they're definitely like social friends. And they're like they are like rescue you when your car breaks down, watch your kids. I mean, they will do anything for you, friends, right? But when it comes to like business wise, like, how can I improve in that area? Like, my friends are, they just, I don't know what they do. They don't know what I do. Like, it's fine. So I was like, I should probably try to find like some sort of like local entrepreneurial group in my area. You know, that like meets like once a month, like not super formal, right? But like they go out for coffee or drinks or something where I can just like kind of start to make some connections where I live so that I have some local people that I can connect with. Because we talk all the time. I talk to Andrea all the time. But at the end of the day, like, you live a million miles from me, right? So it would be like, I would love it if we lived by each other and we could like go to lunch once a week, right? That'd be awesome. You're like, yeah, my absolute nightmare. I'm never moving to Kansas. But I think there's some, like, my realtor who, you know, sold me this house, like, I think realtors are kind of entrepreneurial because they really have to do a lot of stuff on their own to sell houses, you know, even though they do usually work for an agency. There's a lot they do to make themselves better. And her and I really connected, I think, because of that, because she's very into marketing. She's a hustler. So I was like, I need more people like Carla, who I feel like challenge me on the business level as opposed to the, like, and I think that will help me grow personally as well.
I like that one, actually.
Yeah.
I need a little bit more of that in my life too. None of my friends here are entrepreneurial either, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not to say that the friends that we both have aren't amazing people. They are. It's just different. And it's like why we talk about, like, why we love to go to events so much, because you're finally around people that get you. Whereas so many times my friends will say all to me, I don't even know what you do. Like, I don't know what you, and it's like, you don't need to know. It's too hard to explain. Like, it's easy for you to say, like, I sell hankies, right? Like, that just makes it easier, but they don't understand everything that goes into that.
Yep.
Okay. So the other two for personal growth were, I started thinking about this, like, you know, I feel like I need to find something local that I can, like, a cause or something that I could support, and not like, you know, every single day. I don't have time, but I'm like, I need something. Like, I think about our friend Craig, who passed away in that plane accident this year, and how a lot of what he did in his business went to help support those areas in Africa. I think Africa, where they built schools and
grubs
and things like that. Yep. Yeah, grubs. And I think about how powerful that was when he was talking about that in the group and or at the conference, and how I thought, you know, and a lot of that drives his business and why his business is so much bigger than just selling mouthwash. And I thought, I need to, and I don't want, I can't do that level. That's not a limiting belief. I don't want to do that level. I mean, that's amazing. And there are people like him in this world. And I think they're like a Rachel Miller, same thing. I think she's built schools in Africa and things like that with stuff. And like, I look up to them. I don't necessarily think that I'm at that level, but I think if I could find something even locally, right? Like maybe it's, you know, for kids that, you know, need backpacks and, you know, whatever. I don't know. Something. I don't, that's how bad it is. I don't even know what I could do. Right. But I'm like, I feel like I need something to do. Because when I hear about that and like hear stories from people, I'm like, you know what, that's really inspiring. And I would like to be able to do something like that. So I don't know what it's going to be, but I think that's something that I need to, you know, kind of get out of my own self and do that. And then the final one, which I used to be really good at this and I've totally fallen off the wagon, is read one business or personal development book a week.
And one I might a week. Cheat. Okay.
Yeah. Which isn't hard for me. Like I'm a fast reader. I might cheat and use Audible. Like I've started listening to podcasts and Carline and stuff like that. And just like before I didn't do it because I was like, oh, my kids are going to be bored. I'm like, I don't care. They can listen to it or they can put their headphones in. Maybe they'll learn something. And so I really need to get back on that wagon because I've kind of fallen off over the past like 6 months. So anyway, those are my personal growth. And then really quick confidence boost. And these are easy. Go to the gym 3 times a week. I feel better when I'm in better shape. Like, you know, when I feel like I'm fat, I hate going anywhere. And I know I'm not fat, so I'm not saying that. But like when I feel out of shape, I'm like, oh, everything looks bad on me. I hate going out, you know, whatever. It just changes my whole opinion on everything. Do one thing a week just for me, which is crazy because like that sounds selfish. I just said I wanted to like feed people in Africa. But like I don't really do anything for myself. Like I have kids, like my whole life really revolves around them and work and everything else. So I'm like, I need to do something like once a week that's just, and whether it's just like, oh, I'm just going to go to Starbucks. Right. It's not like a big thing. Like I get my nails done, but I'm like, I don't have time. I don't have. So I will go so long between getting my nails done that it's like embarrassing.
Embarrassing. So I just,
no, I'm not going to hold them. They're really bad right now. But because I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to take the time, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't do a lot of stuff that just benefits me. Like, why wouldn't I just go get a massage? It feels super selfish, right? But I feel so much better when I do it, the few times I've ever done it, that I need to, like, just say, hey, it's okay if I take an hour a week and do something that's not productive, doesn't benefit anybody else. Like, that's okay. And I feel like, especially, I don't know how it is on, like, the dad side, but on the mom side, it's like you feel guilty if you do anything that doesn't like somehow benefit your children.
Huh.
Like if you just like, I mean, like it'd be like if I golfed, I'm like, I'm going to go golfing. Like I don't golf, but like, you know, golfing doesn't benefit anybody but yourself. Right. So, I need to find like little things that I can do where I, you know, like I'll just go walk around Target. I don't know. So, but I feel like I need to do that. So I want to do the 4x4x48 one more time. Because that was a huge confidence boost for me before. And the other thing that I want to do, which I'm terrified to do, but I feel like if I did it, I'd feel like I could do anything, is I want to go overseas by myself. I want to take a trip by myself. Not like for a long time. Like it could be a weekend. Doesn't have to be like this big deal.
I mean, if you're going to go all the way overseas, you should stay there at least a week, right?
Well, yeah, I'm like saying it's not like I'm going to go move, you know, to Tuscany for 2 months. Like,
interesting. Okay.
I realize I have a lot of fear about that, like traveling by myself. And I don't mind traveling for work and stuff like that. But like, I don't know if I could go somewhere by myself and like actually have a good time. So I was like, I think if I could do that, that would get me over some of my limiting beliefs. And I would, it's just like when I did the 4x4x48, you remember, like, I was like, I'll take over the world. Like,
yeah,
I thought I could do anything. And so because I did something really hard. And so for me, like traveling alone for fun is like, which sounds silly, but like I'm terrified to do that. And so for me, that's something I think if I could do, it would probably help me get over some of the other things that I'm afraid of.
Interesting. You know, now that you've kind of described this vision board, I think I might have something similar, but it's mm-hmm. just in this like Google draft, Gmail draft.
Of course it is.
There's no images.
Of course it is.
It's just a set of things that remind me of like what I need to do. Well, it's what I need to do and what I want to do, kind of like planning, so to speak. But it's, I guess it's different. It's not exactly a vision board, but it's just a set of things that remind myself like this is what I need to do or want to do.
It's the same thing. You just, then I take these things and I find images that relate to these things or to me represent what those are. And I'll probably put it as my desktop.
I see.
So like, so some of the things on my board, and I can post a picture of it in the thing, is I have like a for rent sign, right, to talk about rental properties. I have a picture of me speaking at Brand Accelerator on stage. I have a picture of me and my girls in Turks and Caicos. I have a picture of the mastermind from Seller Summit, where it's like, oh, I want to meet with other entrepreneurs in my area. I have a picture of my tattoo. You know, I have the word fun on my board because I'm not fun. Like, I'm not a fun person, mostly. You see me like probably the most fun ever because I'm like traveling. But like in real life, I'm not fun. I'm like work, you know, go to bed, go, you know, run. Like, I'm just not fun. So I'm like, for some reason I feel guilty. Like, that's a limiting belief. I feel guilty having fun. Like, oh, I should be doing something else. I should be more productive. Like, the trip overseas this summer was good for me because I was forced to do fun things. And I didn't really have a choice. So like, I need to be okay. It's okay to have fun. You don't have to feel bad about it. I have the word focus on my board because I'm all over the map most days. I have the word learn because I really feel like I need to be like really focused on learning more about like copywriting or other things that I'm doing. So a picture of me at the gym, like that's just the stuff. So it's like when I look at that board, all those things on my goal sheet are just represented in pictures. Right. And yeah. One of my favorite pictures on the board is a picture that my nephew, Owen, who
I thought you were going to say your favorite picture is this big fat picture of Steve, like right front and center.
Yes. You're in the very center. You're in the very center of the board. So my nephew, Owen, is like my one nephew that you haven't met, took a picture of my son on vacation running along the beach with the sunset. And it's like this really cool photo. And to me, that's like the ultimate like freedom photo, right? You're just like completely carefree, running in the ocean. The sun is setting. It's like this gorgeous. And to me, it's like, yeah, I want my life to feel like that photo, right? Like no limits. Everything's not, you know, and obviously life is hard and things happen. And I'm not ever saying that that's not the case. But I think how you view things completely, it's kind of like when something bad happens in my life and I go to you and you're like, well, just do X, Y, Z. Right.
I would like to think that I don't just say that.
Okay, but
I go, Tony, that sounds terrible.
Ugh. No, you don't. You're like, just do X, Y, Z. I don't say that in a bad way. I say it in a good way because I think for most people, or maybe it's just me, maybe I'm the only one this happens to. Like when something bad happens, I take it to like a DEFCON 7 level immediately. Right. The car is broken down. I'm going to go bankrupt and lose everything that I own. Like, that's my thought process within about 45 seconds, right? Which is not the case, right? I mean, we get the car fixed, we trade the car in, we get whatever. Like, there are options so that I don't die, right? But in my mind, I typically go to immediate worst case scenario, you know, within a minute. And so I want to, like, when these things happen, I want to be like, nope, you know what? We're good. Solve it. Figure it out.
But that's always been the way you've been. That's what's funny about
this. I'm trying to. That's why.
No. Not the DEFCON part. The not letting it phase you part, and not reacting.
And then I react inside. Oh, okay. Very big.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Which then of course like triggers all these other things. So that's why I think the vision board is important, because I think I'm going to make this my desktop photo. So that way, when I sit down to work and when my computer freezes up like it does, you know, six times a day, you know, there's going to be a picture on that board that catches my attention in that moment. And I'm going to, you know, see myself on stage or look at the mastermind from Seller Summit and go, that was a great mastermind. I learned so much from those people. Like, am I working on finding those people in my area? Right. Or have I let that slide? I put a picture of me at the top of a mountain in Arizona, and I didn't do that by myself, but I'm by myself in the photo. But I put it there like, hey, I can do this. Like I can do this by myself. Like not that you have to do everything by yourself, but for me, it's important to do some things by myself because I always have people around me. And so, yeah, I think the board is just like a constant reminder of these things. And I do think if you're focused, if you look at that board, you think about it, you're constantly telling yourself these things, the chances of you achieving them goes up by order of magnitude. Like, just that's how it works. If you bury it in a Google draft.
Ouch. I look at that Google draft every day, by the way.
Yes, you do. But yeah. You're, as I said at the very beginning, you're a disciplined person who probably doesn't need, I mean, I hate to say this because I don't want people to think they don't need a vision board. I think most people do. You are abnormal when it comes to these things. there's very few people that I know, and I know a lot of people that have the same level of drive to achieve something once you set your mind to do it.
I think the vision board's just internal. It's in my head. Like, it's just not physical.
Yeah.
It's all.
Yeah. But for most people, they need a physical or visual. You know, it doesn't have to be like piece of paper. It can be on the.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.